Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, as I'm not telling you anything new here, Christmas is a time for traditions. We all have them. Family traditions, personal traditions, things that we have to do a certain way because that's the way we did it that last year, or the year before that, or the year before that. The Christmas tree at home has to be decorated the way it was, has always been. Decorations are carefully placed on special shelves and tables, very likely those same shelves and tables that we used the year before. New decorations and new traditions do find their way into the mix, and slowly those things become new traditions. It isn't wrong to have Christmas traditions. They're familiar, they're comforting, and they give us joy year after year as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Well, the people of Israel had their traditions as well, most of them not just simply invented out of air, but developed over time and given to them by God. One of those traditions, one of the most important, is the festival of Passover. The first Passover took place centuries before Jesus' birth, when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. One final act of deliverance, God led the Israelites out of slavery into freedom. To demonstrate his mighty power and force the Egyptians to release the Israelite people, God was going to kill the firstborn of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the Egyptian cattle. The people of Israel were to celebrate their deliverance on that night by killing, roasting, and feasting on a lamb. Each household was then to take the blood of that lamb and paint it on the lintels and doorposts of their home. And wherever God saw that blood marking the door, he would pass over and spare the firstborn of that home. So on that night, the firstborn of Egypt were struck down, and the Pharaoh finally ordered the Israelites to leave. Scripture says of that Passover, it was a night of watching by the Lord, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout all their generations. Year after year, the tradition of Passover would preserve the memory of that night where God set his people free. And when children would ask the meaning of the feast, the families were to answer, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." Passover was a tradition handed down from generation to generation. It was a remembrance of deliverance, but it was also more than an annual reminder of a past miracle. Passover was a picture of the future, a picture and a prophecy of a greater act of deliverance, of a greater sacrifice to come. In this act of deliverance, God would not strike down the firstborn of an enemy nation. In this sacrifice, God's own Son, the firstborn of creation, would die. When Jesus began his public ministry, John the Baptist announced the arrival of the Savior with the words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God had come. And just as the Israelites in ancient Egypt were to choose a lamb without blemish, according to St. Peter, the Lamb of God was the perfect sacrifice, the innocent sacrifice without blemish or spot. This lamb was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times. Jesus, the child of Bethlehem, whose birth we will soon celebrate, is the spotless Lamb of God. And he offered up his life on the cross, suffering the penalty of death that we earned through our sin, through our rebellion against God, our Creator. The enemy of God wasn't some foreign nation, but sadly, all of humanity needed rescuing from itself. With this bloody sacrifice of God's Son, the wrath of God against our sin passes over us, as surely as the Lord long ago passed over the blood-marked doors of the Israelite households. On that night, the slaves went out through the blood-painted doors out of Egypt, into freedom. Through the death of Jesus, the Lamb, we too are redeemed and set free from our slavery to sin, to death, and the power of the devil. Luther has a great hymn called "Christ Jesus Lay in Death's Strong Bands," which describes the freedom won for us by our Passover Lamb. He writes, "Here our true Paschal Lamb we see, whom God so freely gave us. He died on the accursed tree, so strong his love to save us. See, his blood now marks our door. Faith points to it. Death passes over, and Satan cannot harm us." Should we be talking about Easter hymns in Advent? Absolutely. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born in Bethlehem for this purpose, to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins. On the cross, he did exactly that. Jesus set us free from our sin and from our death, paying the price that we could never pay. Long before Jesus was born, the psalmist wrote about that impossible price to be paid in Psalm 49, where it says, "Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit." But just a few verses later, the psalmist provides the answer to the puzzle. The impossible cost can only be paid in one way. Quote, "God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol." The blood of the Lamb born in Bethlehem has marked our doors to save us from the day of wrath when the angel of death passes through. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus' blood, now marks us as God's holy and redeemed people. As God's redeemed people, St. Paul writes, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. A very precious life was given so that we might live free from the meaningless existence of a life of selfishness." So are we truly free? One might ask. Yes, you are. Are we free to live as we please? Yes. Are we free to return to a life of sin? Sad to say, yes. But why would you want to? when you know the destination of sin. Scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. God called us to freedom, but His desire is that we learn to forsake our sinful and selfish ways. And He offers us instead freedom to serve Him by serving others as our Lord lived and died for us. You were called to freedom, brothers, writes the apostle. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I have to admit, it does seem a bit strange to be talking about Passover during Advent. But I also think that we have so taken the heart out of Christmas with our focus on little baby Jesus, meek and mild, while forgetting just who He is as God's special Lamb of God. The sobering reality for me is that this little baby was destined to be the bloody sacrifice that brings you and me freedom. Are you as shocked right now as I am to think that this little infant whose birthday we're about to celebrate again this year will be the one to meet the powers of darkness on a cross during Passover and give His life for a people who may not receive Him? Give His life for a people who may just turn away from the work of God so that they can return to their shallow, man-made traditions and become themselves the objects of what should be a God-directed focus. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love the Christmas traditions. I love the lawn nativity scenes that we have out here in our church, the sign that reminds us that joy is a year-round thing for everyone who's in Christ. But I think I'm searching for a new tradition, some way to celebrate Christmas which ties the cross to it, so that I'm reminded that Christmas is more than a celebration of a little baby. Jesus is more than just a little baby. John told us He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The cross reminds me that we've been led out of the slavery to sin, death, and Satan, and into freedom. And now through Advent, into Christmas, and into Easter, and until our Lord comes back again, we are free to live and serve others in the name of the Lamb who was slain for us. That's your God who loves you, who has given His all so that you might be free. Amen.